This morning our text will be Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The scripture there says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." This morning I want to speak to you for the next few moments about being rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. In the book of Colossians, we're reminded that Jesus is the center of everything in our Christian life. If you remove Jesus, we don't have a religion. We don't have a walk with God. We don't have any sort of certainty without Jesus. Jesus is everything. We must always be actively seeking to put Jesus at the center of our lives. So here, you know, the book of Colossians, Jesus is the center of the book of Colossians and the focus. He's the theme. But, you know, the reality is in our daily walk, Jesus should be the main focus. This should be the central theme of our lives, living for Jesus. With that in mind this morning, I want to talk about what it means to be rooted in Christ. In verse 6, he says something very interesting. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." I've been meditating on this verse for the last several days and just thinking about what it means. That word "as" is a term of comparison. It's saying in the same way that, or like you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And I was thinking about how, first of all, you and I really need to adjust our thinking as Christians. I'm primarily this morning talking to those who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who know that you have a home in heaven and you have a real relationship with God. And you say, "Pastor, why do we need to adjust our thinking?" Because I'm afraid that, especially after you've been saved for a while, you can start to put your focus on things other than Christ. You can start to look at other issues of life, and frankly, you can start to depend upon your own strength, your own ability, your own learning about Christianity, your own wisdom in the Bible. And if you're not careful, you can push Christ right to the side and you can forget that the way you should live every day of your Christian life is the exact same way that you received Christ when you were an unbeliever. Think back to the time when you were converted. When you knew that you were a sinner and you knew that your only hope was in the gospel of Jesus Christ, think back to that time and think about what you did at that time and how you came to Christ. And that is how you ought to be walking every day of your Christian life, whether you've been saved for 3 months or 3 years or 30 years. It's all the same. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." You know, you and I never really should grow past the attitude and the way in which we came to the Lord in the first place. And I'll point out to you there in verse 6, it's very interesting that he is called Christ Jesus the Lord. The three primary titles that identify the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, he is Christ. That is, he's the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was promised, who came by the promise of the Father. He is Jesus. That is, he is our Savior, our salvation, the one who delivers us from our sin. And he is Lord. That is, he is the master. He is the ruler. He is the one who is in authority over us. Savior, anointed one, Messiah, master. This is the one that we received into our lives. And as we received him, we should also walk. So I was thinking about how was it that you and I came to receive Christ? And you may think of some other things, but these are the three things that came to my mind about how we should adjust our thinking every day of our walk. First of all, when you got saved and I got saved, there was some humility that was involved in admitting our need. A Bible word that is used in regards to this is repentance. It has the idea of, I'm tired of the way that things have been. Not just tired of it. I'm done with it. I need a change. But the humility of mind is when we realize, you know, I can't save myself. And I'm convinced of this morning, that there are more people unsaved because they refuse to repent of their own good works than there are those who are refusing to repent of their evil deeds. Did you hear what I said? You know, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And in their mind, they're good. But what happened when you got saved was you recognized no amount of your good doings, no amount of good deeds is going to make you right with God. And you finally came to the place where you said, okay, I give up. And you humbled yourself. And you said, I need you. I need the salvation that you offer. In salvation, you admitted how desperately you needed his free gift. So what happens to us then after we get saved? Well, after a while, we start to really struggle with this area of humility, don't we? And we start to think that though we were saved by grace, we go on by our own good works. And you know, the reality is, if we're going to walk in the way that we ought to walk, we need to adjust our thinking back to a state of humility. Think about this. As a Christian, your life is a dependent life. You are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ for everything. Everything. He's not only the giver of physical life, he's also the sustainer of spiritual life. And this morning, we need a good dose of humility to say, Lord, I need you. But I also thought, you know, in salvation, there was the truth that we recognized that God was giving a free gift of salvation. God was giving us something that we could not earn. In contrast to us earning it, God was giving it freely, and we needed to receive that gift. I'm reminded about how the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we find that, you know, the reality is I need to be reminded every day about the freeness of the gift of salvation. But I also need to be reminded now that I'm saved, of the freeness of the gift of relationship with God. I didn't earn it in the first place. I don't sustain that relationship with God through my own good works, through my own performance. I don't come to God with my Sunday school attendance ribbons and say, see, God, now you have to answer my prayers. I've been there every Sunday for the last 20 years. Doesn't work that way. If he answers my prayers, and he promises that he does, it is because of his mercy, his goodness. It's the freeness of his gift. So I need to adjust my thinking. You know, in reality, every day that I walk with him is a gift. Every day is something that he has given to me. Not only does he give me the day, but he gives me the strength. He gives me the wisdom. He gives me the course to pursue. And so if I'm going to adjust my thinking, I need to go back to that place and realize salvation was a free gift. And God wanting to continue giving me his life, you know, that's what it means to have a relationship with God, is him continuing to give me that life. It's eternal life is a free gift. God wants me to experience his life, his resurrection power. And that is something that he freely gives to those who belong to him. I've got to adjust my thinking. Third of all, I need to adjust my thinking about my confidence of hope. My confidence of hope. Because you and I were saved. If you're saved, you're saved by faith through grace. It is God's grace that is given to you. And you believed on the promise of God. And that faith is the basis of the contractual agreement between you and God. And it's a covenant. And God says he'll never go back on his word. You are saved to the uttermost. So there's great confidence. And do you remember when you got saved of how your heart was confident and how you were so thankful for the promise of God, for the hope of salvation? I mean, when you realized that you were lost and you had no hope in and of yourself, and then that life preserver of the gospel was thrown to you and you realized there is hope after all. That hope is in Christ. That hope is secure. That hope is something that I can put my confidence in. And you believed on him. That confidence of hope. But now as I go forward in my Christian life, I need to have confidence in the strength and the sustaining power of Christ for my daily walk. Just like I was saved by faith, so I walk by faith, amen, not by sight. You see, you and I, if we're going to walk in the same way that we received Christ Jesus the Lord, we have to do a daily adjustment of our thinking because we naturally fall into patterns of self-sufficiency and pride and our way, and we forget, I need to take up my cross daily and follow him. Now, we don't need to be saved every day over and over again. Thank God, our salvation is secure. We're secure in him. We praise God for the promises of eternal security. But we do need to make daily decisions and sometimes even moment by moment decisions to adjust our thinking to live out the reality of the salvation that he has given to us. So he says there, you need to adjust your thinking. You need to, in some ways, and I pointed this out to you last week, but these believers were being tempted by some of the false teachers that were coming through to become more sophisticated than the gospel, to move past the gospel. And here's the reality. You never can move past the gospel. As a believer, you have to continue having faith. As one who repented, you have to continue repenting and getting right with God. Amen. It is a continual journey. It started in repentance and faith, and it continues in repentance and faith. And praise God for this truth that we really don't get to a second stage of our Christian life. Just the same way you came to Christ is the same way that you walk in him. Now, it is worth pointing out that we walk in him. And that walk refers to our daily course. It refers to the decisions that we make, the places we go, the people we interact with, the things that we involve ourselves in. And in every area of our life, we need to be applying this mentality of as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. There is no secular sacred divide in our lives. Amen. There is no thought, well, this is work and that has nothing to do with my relationship with God. No, to the contrary. You are a 24/7 child of God, and you need to, whether you're in your home, your backyard, at your office, at work, whether you're in your car or out in the neighborhood or out playing with some of the guys, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You ought to always be a Christian. Walk in him. But you know, the second thing that I see about this idea of Christ being the central focus of our lives is in verse 7. And he says there that we are to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now, as you can see, this is where I took the title for this morning's message. And there's three distinct thoughts there in verse 7. Rooted, built up, and established. And these three have some similarity. They share some synonymous truth, but they also are a little bit distinct from one another. So we want to consider them in order as we think about the fact that if we're going to be rooted in Christ, we must accept his strengthening. So we need to adjust our thinking, but we also need to accept his strengthening. It says there, rooted. Rooted. Roots are interesting, aren't they? Depends whether they're roots of weeds or roots of flowers or roots of the plants that you're trying to grow in your garden. I don't know why it is, but weeds have the best roots. Always. Thistles, I think they have the best root system of all. And if you've ever struggled with thistles in your garden, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The way that those roots go and the way that the plant regenerates from the roots when you pull it off. Did you know that when you pull thistles out and break it off, it actually puts up a couple more extra, which is why they spread so fast. And I saw how you're supposed to get them out one time, and I said, oh, well, I'll never do that. I saw this gardener just meticulously following the root path of a thistle as it spread out for feet beyond the thistle and taking out every single fibrous part of the roots. And I thought, I have thousands of thistles in my garden. I'm never going to do that. So we'll just try to whack them with a weed whacker and grow things in between. Roots. What is a root? Well, a root is a fibrous network of vessels that carry water and minerals from the soil up into the main body of the plant. And that water and those minerals then are part of the process of photosynthesis, where the sun shines on the green part of the plant and produces what that plant was created by God to bring forth. But the roots are an amazing thing. Roots. I was reading a little bit about how roots work last night, and I found that scientists have discovered that some trees with deep root systems, especially in arid parts of the world, can send roots down as far as 60 feet. And they can tap directly into the water table so that they're not dependent on the rain at all. Isn't that incredible? And somehow the roots know where the water is. They can find it, sniff it out. I'm sure it all happened accidentally by chance over millions of years. And if you believe that, well, no, I don't believe that. I believe that something like that most certainly had to be created by God. Amen. You think about how roots function. First of all, roots provide nourishment. These roots go down into the ground to provide the nutrients, the nourishment, the minerals for that plant that the plant needs to produce the fruit. You know, in like manner, remember, we are to be rooted in Christ. In the same manner, we are to be receiving our nourishment for our walk by being rooted in Christ. Jesus provides everything that we need for our lives. Amen. Some people have said it's too simplistic. You can't really say this. I disagree, so I'm going to say it anyway. I believe wherever you are in your Bible, whatever page you are on your Bible, you can find Christ. Amen. You can find him. Because this book is the revelation of Christ. Amen. He is typified and pictured and foreshadowed in the Old Testament. His life is explicitly spelled out and described in the New Testament. His commands are revealed to us. So when we come to the Scriptures are really, it's not a cold study about principles. It is learning about a person. Amen. And that person is Christ. And we are to be rooted in him. We are to have our confidence in him. Our nourishment is to come from Christ and Christ alone. He provides everything that we need for our lives. We can't stray from Christ. So roots provide nourishment, but also roots provide foundational stability. Roots are amazing. In a large tree, For instance, we have some large trees out here next to the, on this side of the church building, large locust trees. Some of them are, I don't know, pushing on 80, 90 feet tall. And to be honest with you, the root structure on those is not all that impressive, which is why sometimes they get blown over in the wind. But most of the time, unless the ground gets saturated with water, those roots hold. It's incredible how you could have a huge tree that weighs thousands and thousands of pounds, and then this bulbous root underneath is gripping the dirt and holding that tree in place. Trees that are in arid climates will put their roots out really far in search of water. The roots stabilize the structure as they grip the soil that is below, and the tree stays in its place. And we also learned that sometimes when the wind blows, it actually strengthens not only the trunk of the tree, but it drives the roots deeper. Somehow the trees know these roots have to be deeper. This is a high wind area. I don't know how they know that exactly, except that God gives them some sort of a way to know. There's foundational stability. You know, in like manner, Christ is the stabilizing force of our lives. He gives us the strength that we need to be able to carry on. When the wind blows, when the trials come, we find that our hope is in Christ. Our security is in Christ. Our confidence is in Christ. We are rooted in Christ. People say, how do you have the strength to go on? Because of Him. Because of Him. He gives me hope. He gives me confidence. You must accept His strengthening. Be rooted in Him. But then the second phrase that is used there is built up in Him. And that phrase, built up, means to finish the structure. It's a construction analogy. So we had an analogy from the agricultural world, but now we have an analogy from the building world. And He says, okay, you need to be built up in Christ. And you think about how a structure is finished, a house or a building. Well, there's going to have to be individual parts that are going to be put together and fastened, and all of these pieces are going to come together until finally the structure is finished. And the picture that comes to our mind of being built up in Him is of a long-term construction project, a little at a time. When I was a boy, one of my uncle and aunt, how do I say that? My mom's sister and her husband. They were working on building a house. And I remember, you know, when we would go to visit family, then we would usually drive by and see their house. And for them, it was a long-term construction project because they actually built the house by themselves over the course of several years. And so they had a modular home on the property that they lived in, and then they were building the house a little bit at a time. After work, whenever they had time, Saturdays, vacations, you know, they would be out there and they would do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And eventually the house is finished. Now they live there. It's completed. It's all done. But it was a long-term type of a construction project. You know, that's how our lives are. Amen. We're becoming more like Christ. We're being built up in Him. We're building up in Him with the choices that we make and in the way that we walk by choosing His character, the Christ-like character, the fruit of the Spirit. We're being built up and we're becoming more like Christ. And more, slowly, yes, but steadily, His likeness is being formed in us. We ought to be more like Christ now than we were when we first got saved. Rooted, built up. That building, though, is all because of Him. Third of all, He says, established in the faith. Established in the faith. And that word established means exactly what it sounds like. It means to be secure, to be firm, to have a foundation. You know, our faith as believers should be becoming more and more secure, more and more sure. You and I need to be established and settled in the things that we believe. Amen. I do not understand this modern mentality of, well, there is no truth. We can't really know. So we'll just kind of guess our way through life. How do people live that way? I need to know some things. I need to have some security. I need to have some surety. I need to know, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And as you're growing in your faith, you ought to be becoming more and more sure about those things. As you see God keeping His Word, as you experience His working in your life, as you walk with God and you experience His power, we become more and more sure of these things. I'll tell you, you know, I've been saved for quite a while, long time, number of years. Was saved as a boy, and here I am, 45 years old. You know what I think? I believe more in the power of prayer now than I have ever believed in the power of prayer. I believe that God answers prayer, and here's why. Because I've seen it. I've prayed, and God has answered prayer, so I know that God answers prayer. So, yes, I've seen the promise of God, and I believe it because of the promise of God. But I also believe it because experientially, I've taken God at His word, and I've seen God move and work in real ways. And now I'm more secure. I'm more sure in my faith. This is also true. You know, we're established in the faith as we get to know Him. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. When the Bible talks about the faith, it is talking more about a person than it is about some sort of a creed that we've agreed to. Amen. There's a personal relationship with God that is spoken of. And if you are truly saved, then you ought to be experiencing that your faith is becoming stronger and stronger. Amen. If you're drifting from your faith, if you're saying, you know, there's things that I used to believe that I just don't really even think about that much, that's a bad sign. That's indicative that perhaps you never had faith to begin with. You need to examine your foundation. You and I should be being established in the faith. And then he adds this thought, as ye have been taught. We've been taught and instructed in these things. If you've been saved for any length of time, you've received plenty of Bible instruction. Honestly, if you're saved, you're saved because you received some Bible instruction, right? You can't be saved without the hearing of the Word. So you received some Bible instruction. Then after you got saved, hopefully you started receiving more and more Bible instruction, and you got all of these things that you've been instructed. But here is the truth. You're to be rooted, built up, established as ye have been taught. Now, what he's saying is you have to take the things that you have been taught, the things that have been instructed to you, and you need to put them to work in your life. Amen. You need to live out the things that you've been told. We have a bad problem in American Christianity, which is it's more like a spectator sport than anything else. You come, you listen to the preacher, you rate his performance based on how is his demeanor today? Did he tell any funny jokes? Did he keep my attention or did I fall asleep, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, good marks for today. Good message, Pastor. You know, really. I mean, I appreciate it when you say good message. It's encouraging to me. But in reality, the best compliment that I could ever receive from a message is to see you take the things that have been preached and put it into your life. Amen. Because to me, that says, okay, the Word of God had an effect on you. So as you have been taught, it's not for a lack of teaching that the church at Colossae is suffering. There is, though, a lack of application. There is a danger that they are starting to be pulled away by some false teaching because they haven't figured out necessarily how to put everything into action. So he says you need to be rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. So we said we need to adjust our thinking. We need to accept His strengthening, if we're going to be rooted in Christ. Finally, third of all, if we're going to be rooted in Christ, he says, we must abound with thanksgiving. And he says it this way, exactly that, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, the therein points back to the faith. The things that we've been taught, the things that we have believed, the things that we've put our confidence in. And he says that we are to be abounding in these things. And the word that is used there actually means to overflow or to superabound. It's a beautiful word that's used several places in our New Testament to remind us that the Christian life is not meant to feel like you were planted in the desert and you're barely hanging on. The Christian life is intended to be abundant. God did not say he would give you almost enough strength. He did not say that he would give you just enough to get you by. He said that he would give you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. You see, the truth is what we have in Christ is so much more than many of us have realized. Amen. It's like someone who lives as if they are poor when in fact they have millions of dollars in the bank. But they're always pinching pennies and complaining about how they don't have enough money to buy food or new clothes or, you know, everything is just, oh, it's so hard. And then somebody comes across their bank balance book and finds out that they have millions of dollars. What are you doing? Why are you living this way? Why are you complaining about being so poor when you have millions of dollars? You know, that's how many Christians are. We have the resources of Christ, the vast riches of Jesus Christ that are given to us, and we live like we're barely hanging on. Listen, abounding. Abounding. God wants us to experience the abundant life. Now, I'm not trying to make it sound as if there won't be any trials or difficulties. That's silly. Of course there will be trials and difficulties. It's actually in those trials and difficulties that his strength is made known to us. It's there that we find the true source of strength, because it's there that we finally let go of our own ability and we start clinging to his, because we have no choice. Be careful. Be careful about just getting by in your Christian life. Sadly, many professing Christians talk about their walk as if it's a burden, as if it's some kind of a blight on their life, as if, you know, I could be really happy if I wasn't a Christian. I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. To me, I think you have made some mistaken assumptions about the Christian life. He says abound. Now, remember, these believers have been told by false teachers, you're missing some things. There's things that you don't have that other people have, the secret knowledge. And if you could just have that, then things would be so much better. And Paul is saying to them, you have everything that you need in Christ. Just abound in Christ. Abound in him. Super abound is actually what it means. But that's not an English word. But we can coin it in a message. All right, we're allowed to do that. Preachers have license like poets do, so we can make words up if we need to. Superabound. But what does he say? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You and I ought to be expressing thanks to God constantly for all that he has done for us. May our minds be captivated by the goodness of God. He has truly blessed us beyond imagination. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I do think that we forget this. Amen. We just start to assume that what we have been given by the Lord is just routine. Normal, average, that's what everybody has. And we are so blessed and we don't even realize it. And if we would just pay attention to all that God has done for us and all that he has given to us, supremely, that refers to what he has given us in Christ, then we would just have to say, thank you, Lord. thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for not giving me the condemnation that I justly deserved. Thank you for not condemning me and casting me away. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for redeeming me with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for reconciling me, who was an enemy of God. And now you've said that I'm your friend, God. I don't understand that. Thank you. Thank you for being a God who hears and answers prayer. Thank you for being a God who says, cast your burdens upon me. Thank you. Thank you for being a God who gives me undeservedly promises that I can cling to, that I can incorporate into my life, that I can build my life upon as a foundation. Thank you for the Word of God, which speaks truly to the issues of my life. Thank you. I mean, are you getting the idea? Abounding. Now, notice this. Abounding with thanksgiving. So I want to point something out to you. The abundance is linked to the thanksgiving. One of the reasons that a lot of Christians are not abounding, they're drying up on the vine, is because they have neglected to be thankful. They have gotten focused on what they think they deserve that God didn't give them, on how God hasn't been fair to them, on why could God treat me this way? Why am I always the bad guy? Why is God always doing these things to me? Listen, Satan will supply you with as many of those thoughts as you want to entertain. He'll keep dumping them into your mind if you keep entertaining them until you can't juggle them all anymore and you break down in a puddle of tears saying, why me? And you say, what is the way out of this juggling act? Well, how about if you start looking instead at what he has done for you? At how good he has been to you. Instead of looking at the things that you wish you had, look at the things that you do have. And abound in thanksgiving. I'm convinced that our lives would be quantifiably better, if we would only begin to practice active thanksgiving. Amen. It would change our lives. And I don't think it would change the circumstances of our lives so much as it would change the way we view the circumstances of our lives. Thanksgiving is that powerful. And so he says, you need to abound. By the way, if what you have believed about Christ is true, then you have every reason to be thankful, because you can never be cast away. You can never lose what he has given to you. You are secure in him. You could lose everything in this life and you still have him. Amen. And that is what actually counts. Amen. And so there's a reality here of us being rooted in Christ. Now, he's building his argument. And we looked last week at verses 1-5 and we pointed this out. Verses 6-7 now. When we get to verse 8, he's going to warn about how you could be robbed of the riches that God has given to you. You could be robbed of the things that you have in Jesus Christ, and you need to be so cautious. But what he's saying here this morning is we need to be rooted in Christ if we are going to continue walking for him. This morning, I want to ask you this. Is your confidence in Christ, or is it in you? In your good works, your efforts, your performance before God? Is your confidence this morning in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or is it in your own righteousness? Salvation is only found in Christ, not through your good works. As a Christian, you know that you're saved. You know that you put your confidence in Christ. Are you walking in him? Are you walking in him with the same mentality by which you were saved, the same type of thinking, the same mindset that you had, that humility, realizing it's a free gift that's given to you, the confidence, the faith to believe the promise of God? Are these things true in your life? Are you rooted in him? Some of you have endured some storms. Is your root system still sunk in Christ? Are you being built up in him? Are you noticing that he's at work, that he's working on you, making you more like Christ, shaping you into the image of Christ? Are you established in the faith? Are you more secure in the things that you believe now than you ever were? I trust this is the case. Are you abounding in the things that you have believed and in your relationship with Christ? Are you abounding in that relationship with thanksgiving? This morning, are you rooted in Christ Jesus?